This episode of I'll Have Another is brought to you by PrepDish. PrepDish is a healthy subscription-based meal planning service. Allison, the chef at PrepDish, is a dietitian, and she puts together a very detailed, organized grocery list for you to go to the store, grab your groceries for the week, prep on Sunday, about 2 hours, and then you have your meals ready for the entire week. She provides you with delicious recipes, and they're healthy and good for your family. You guys, Allison is offering listeners of All Have Another a 2-week trial that is absolutely free. If you go to prepdish.com/another and enter promo code another all caps, you'll get your free 2-week trial. Send me a tweet and let me know what you think about PrepDish when you try it out. I'm at Lindsay Hine. Thank you so much, PrepDish, for sponsoring this episode of All Have Another. Hi friends, welcome to All Have Another. I'm your host, Lindsay, and I'm so happy that you're joining me today. This is a show where I bring on motivating and inspiring women, and today I'm talking with my friend, Leticia Mosqueda, and I'm super excited to share this conversation with you. She is such a fun person to talk to, and 6 years ago, she started a journey where she decided it was time to lose some weight and start running, and she lost 100 pounds, and she's kept that weight off for 6 years. So she talks about what that was like to go through that, how she did it, how she accomplished it, and how she continues to maintain that healthy balance with food, working out, and life in general. So I had so much fun catching up with her, and she's got some fun suggestions at the end of the episode as well for things that you might want to try out. Before we get started talking to Leticia, I want to thank Ambetter from MHS Health Insurance. They are supporters of the Drumstick Dash, which is my favorite race of the entire year here in Indianapolis. The Drumstick Dash is a race that takes place on Thanksgiving Day, and it's at 9 a.m. in Broad Ripple here in Indianapolis. Even if you're not super close, it's worth the drive into town. My family and I do this race every single year. We push the boys in the stroller. This year, I will probably be walking the shorter course. There's a 2.6-mile course, and I think it's 2.6, and then a 4.6, something around there. They're both random distances, but it's so much fun. There's about 20,000 people that show up, and this race supports Wheeler Mission Ministries, which is the largest homeless shelter here in Indiana, with all kinds of amazing programs for the people that walk through their doors. So thank you so much, Ambetter from MHS, for sponsoring the Drumstick Dash and for sponsoring this episode of All Have Another. You guys can go to drumstickdash.org to get registered for that race on Thanksgiving Day. And you guys can go to Ambetter, ambetter.mhsindiana.com to learn more about the services that they offer. Hey, if you are a regular listener to this podcast, would you consider subscribing to the show and then leaving me a rating and review? iTunes has some weird algorithm that the more ratings and reviews you get, the more likely people who don't know about the show can find it. So if you are loving the show, I would really appreciate it if you would head over there, leave me a rating and review so that other people can find us. The more people listening to the show, the more fun it'll be. So, and if you are a small business or company or aligned with a company who you think might be a good fit for speaking to this audience on this podcast, send me an email, lindsay@lindsayhine.com, and we can talk about ways to partner up. I am working on my holiday gift guide episode right now. So if you have a product or a company that you think that might be a good fit there, make sure you send me an email and we can talk about possibly getting you on that episode. Okay, make sure you're following me on Instagram, lindsayhine626, and Twitter @lindsayhine. Okay, let's go ahead and get started talking with Leticia. Hello.
Hi, Lindsay.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. Thank you for joining me.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm honored to be a guest.
Okay, so I first have to say this is my confession.
Okay.
I think we talked about this, but only through text.
Mm-hmm.
I've said your name wrong for like 2 years or 4 years, or however long I've known you.
Yeah, I think, yeah, you told me that.
So, okay, I've always said, and like when I refer to you or when I talk about you or tweet at you, I always in my head say Leticia.
Yeah. I mean, that's how you say it in Spanish, so that's okay. I usually say that that's okay. I usually, if I like meet someone for the first time, I usually say my name's Letitia.
Okay.
Just because that's in English. So it's usually typically easier for people, but I don't mind if you call me Leticia, because that's really should be how it's pronounced. So it's not a big deal.
So what does your family say?
My family actually calls me Letty, which is a nickname. So,
Letty.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well,
and some of my friends call me that too. So yeah, it doesn't matter.
That's interesting too, because that's a nickname for Leticia, Letitia. But my sister just named her baby Letty.
Oh, really? That's funny. I've never known anyone who that was like their actual name. So.
Yeah, I think it's a name from like the 1920s.
Okay.
And it's Letty. And yeah, I've never heard it either. I think she found the name from the movie The Fast and the Furious, to be completely honest.
Maybe. I don't know. I've only seen, I think, the first one of those. I didn't continue on the rampant series. So
me
I don't know.
Either. So what is your day like today?
Today it's actually, I do the same thing every Sunday. Sunday is actually pretty quiet for me in the morning. And then I go to church, at a church called Apostles Church, here in Brooklyn. It's a non-denominational church. And then I, have some friends there, and we always go to brunch. So church and brunch. And then I'm typically at home the rest of the day and go to the grocery store, do laundry or something like that, and then hopefully watch the Cowboys play at some point as well. So, but yeah, Sunday's a quiet day for me, which I'm really thankful for.
So you would be proud of me because I have football on in the background.
Okay, great.
And I know you're a huge football fan. Well, I think the Colts played at 9. Like, they played super early today.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
I actually do not know who was on the TV, but and it's on a commercial. I mean, it's okay. Muted, but like Glenn had left it on earlier today, and he and Marshall went to this airplane show down at the track, and I just left it on because when I'm home by myself, sometimes I like to have background something on, you know.
Yeah, I'm the same way, and I'll watch like anything like or any football that's on Sunday. So, I mean, I like the Cowboys, but I'll pretty much watch anything. So,
but you're a huge football fan, aren't you?
Yeah, I'm a huge football fan. I'm more of a college football fan because I went to a big college, the University of Texas. But I will also watch any college football. And Sundays, I like the Cowboys, but I'll watch anything. So,
You grew up in Texas.
Fan.
Yeah.
I did grow up in Texas. Yes. I grew up in a small town in Texas called Brownwood. A lot of people don't know where that is. It's like right. If you look at a map of Texas, it's literally right in the middle. So I grew up in a small town, about 20,000 people. And yeah, I grew up small town Texas, and I'm the youngest of 8 kids, which a lot of people don't know, actually.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
What's the age gap between you and your oldest sibling?
22 years.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
So he or she is old enough to be your mother or father.
yeah, she is. She is old enough to be that as well.
That's insane. I can't imagine. I can't imagine, having kids in that long of a span. I mean, your mom must have been pretty young when she had the first.
She was, yeah. She was 17. So
okay, yeah.
Pretty young, yeah.
Because I'm just like, oh my gosh, okay, I'm doing this for the third time right now. But, I mean, I started way older than 17, but I'm like,
right.
I can't imagine in 15 years, like, my body being able to handle this, or even 10 years, you know?
Yeah, no, I can't imagine. It's crazy. But, you know, a lot of people ask me, like, what's it like to have such a big family? And I mean, I don't know what it's not like to have such a big family, so... it's fun. I have 13 nieces and nephews, and they all live in Texas. So, there's definitely a part of me that is still there, even though I live here. So
how anyway. Often do you go back?
I would say I go back to back to Texas, probably about 3 times a year, sometimes 4. It just kind of depends on what is going on in my life. I always go at Christmas and always go in the summer. And then sometimes I'll be out there in the spring or the fall, usually for a wedding or something like that. It just kind of depends. But definitely, since I've lived in New York, which has been a little over 6 years, I try to get back 3 to 4 times a year. So
all of your siblings still live there?
All of my siblings live in Texas. And actually, all of my siblings, except for one, live in my hometown.
Crazy. So,
Yeah. So it is crazy.
So tell me this, how far, and this is just, I've only been to Texas one time, I believe.
Okay.
And that was last year when I went to Austin. What, in relation to like Austin, how far, where is your, in that state, where is your hometown?
In that state. So I live about 2 hours northwest of Austin.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Is that the closest major city then?
Yeah, it's the closest major city. I'm about 2.5 hours from Dallas. So, but that's obviously, east of where I'm from. So, but yeah, Dallas and Austin, where I'm kind of in between each. So people usually ask like where I fly into, and it just, whatever's cheaper typically. So,
And then you have to commute a couple hours.
And then I have to commute a couple hours. Yeah. So, which is a bummer, but.
So, okay, you went to, and tell me if I'm saying this wrong. I know Hook'em Horns is like where you went. Is that University of Texas?
It is a University of Texas. Yep, okay. The Hook'em Horns. That's me. So that's what my Twitter name is after. So.
Oh, right. Yeah. Okay. So did you always know that you were going to go to school there? Or always want to?
I grew up a Longhorn fan. My family, they didn't go to school there, but my brothers were big Longhorn fans, Texas Longhorns. And so I always liked them. Like, there's a picture of me when I was probably like 3 or 4, and I have like a Hook'em, like a foam finger. So yeah, I always wanted to go to that school. Yeah, it was definitely a dream of mine to go there. So it was really fun to get to go there. And I love sports. So that was really fun while I was there too. We were really good in football. We won the national championship. So it was great. It was a really great experience.
So, and I told you this, I think via text, that when I was in Austin, I was at a party that Vince Young was at.
Yes, you were. And I am so, so jealous of that. That's awesome. I think I saw him a couple of times on campus. We're actually the same age, and we graduated, or we were the same class at UT. And so when he was a senior, I was a senior, and he like scored the winning touchdown, like with a minute to go for us to win the national championship. So he's like, he was all sports, like, idol for everyone who went to college then, and even still now, that's one of like the best plays like in college football history. So
what,
you met a college football legend?
Well,
like,
I didn't
even know.
I didn't even meet him though, is the thing. So
yeah,
wait a second, what year did you graduate?
I graduated from college in 2006.
Okay, same
so
here.
10 years
okay.
ago. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So it's funny because then the next day after the party, I texted Glenn and I was like, hey, do you know who Vince Young is? And he's like, yeah. And then he's like, you should tell your friend Leticia, because, you know, you say your name wrong around here. Yeah. He was like, because I'm sure she's like huge fan, because she, you know, he knew you were super into football and went to Texas. And the funny thing is, though, is I mean, I saw him walk in, you notice him, he's a big guy. And I thought, oh, he's probably like a football player or something. And he was with Regina King, which was random too. And we were, the next day after the party, everybody's like, you know, hungover, talking about what happened the night before, and like, oh yeah, did you guys know that that's who that was? And we're like, no, we had no idea. Like, maybe I would have introduced myself. I don't know.
Yeah,
but that's funny. Yeah. Yeah. So, but he doesn't really have. Does he do anything now? He's retired, or?
Yeah, I think he played a couple years for the Titans, the Tennessee Titans, and then he's like retired from football. I believe he works for the Longhorn Network, which is our like sports network that we have. It's a part of ESPN. So he like game. He does some stuff for that, but he doesn't play football anymore. No.
Okay, so. Gotcha. Well, so you. After college, because you've been in New York City for 6 years, but
been in New York City. Yep.
We're the same. We've both been removed from college for a good 10 years. What were you doing before you moved to New York City?
So I graduated from UT in May of 2006, and then I stayed in Austin, and I was working actually at a nonprofit charter high school. So I did that for the years post-college before moving to New York. So I was working in high school. So
what,
I did like case management type stuff to teens. So
what made you want to move to New York City?
I had come on a few trips to New York with some friends. And at first it was just kind of, you know, I came on some trips, and actually the very first time I came, I really liked it. But I remember leaving with a good friend and was like, yeah, it was great. It was fun. I was like, but I could never live there. I could never live there. Mm-hmm. I never had any desire to move to New York. And then I came on a couple other trips, and I don't know, I just kind of got like this idea. I was like, you know, I was like, why not? You know, I was young and single, and it was an adventure. And I thought that I would come here and stay for a couple of years, maybe one, maybe two. And I've been here for six. So, which is really crazy to think about. I never thought that I would be here for this long, but yeah. So it was just kind of like an opportunity, and I just decided to take it and move here. I kind of went on a whim. So, and lots of prayers.
Yeah. So do you see that this is where you're going to be? I mean, do you ever see yourself moving?
I mean, I try not to put like an end date on my time here. Mm-hmm. I used to be like, oh, this is my last year here. This is my last year here. And obviously that's not the truth because I'm still here. So, I don't know how long I'll be here, but I do know this is where I am now, and it's been really great. And I've learned a lot and grown a lot as a person. And, it's been really great. I have no idea how much longer I'll be here. I know that I can't say that this is where I want to be long-term, like my whole life. I think that's kind of a big, that's a big thing to say, especially being from Texas and my whole family is there. I do think if I were to move, it would be back to Texas. So, but I don't know when that would be. So
how would you deal with the Texas heat year round?
I do not know. I have no idea. I definitely am not used to it anymore. When I go back in the summer, because I always go back in the summer, spend time with my family, it's pretty brutal. It's really bad. Like, I don't know. I didn't really start running like a lot until I moved to New York. So I don't know how they do it. Like, they train for a marathon. I really don't understand.
Seriously. So
they're heroes. So
it's gotta be so hard to train in that heat. So when you moved to the city, did you know anybody?
I knew a couple people. I actually knew a couple of guys from college, and like a friend of mine, like her boyfriend lived here. So I knew just a couple people, but no one that I was like super close to. No, like I kind of came not knowing it. And it's funny when you move to like a city, like people are always like, oh, like I know so-and-so, you should meet them or whatever. And that's actually kind of how I got my first roommate, through a friend of a friend from Austin. And she had actually lived in Austin before. She moved here like a month before I did. I did not know anyone like that I was like good friends with. I knew of a couple people, but that was it.
I feel like that's intimidating. Like, how do you, as an adult, how did you make friends? Like, how did you meet people?
I met people through my church, and I met people from work. I was working at a graduate school program in the admissions department. So met people through that and met people through church. And then once I started running, like more, I met people through that. So, now this is kind of the same. So, but it was definitely intimidating for sure, because I had a really great community in Austin because I had lived there for college and lived there post-college, and most of my friends had actually stayed in Austin post-college. So it was just kind of a continuation. So it was definitely a huge adjustment to come and not know a whole lot of people, but I just kind of like put myself out there, and community is important to me. Friendship is important to me. So I just, you know, wanted that to happen quickly. And it did. You know, you're not automatically good friends with everyone you meet, but just kind of putting yourself out there and willing to do like, hey, like, do you want to have dinner? Like, I don't really know you, but like, let's, you know. So, and New York, honestly, it's full of transplants. Like most people are kind of in the same boat, you know, especially at my church, it was tons of transplants. So people who have moved here from other places, like I still to this day don't have a ton of friends who are from the city or who grew up here. So
is that the same church you still go to?
It is the same church I still go to. Oh, yeah. I go to the Brooklyn campus, but, it's grown a little. We have more campuses now. So because I live in Brooklyn, I go in Brooklyn.
So, yeah. I mean, did you recently move to Brooklyn? I saw you tweeted the other day, like, as long as you're in New York, you're staying in Brooklyn.
Yeah. I actually moved to Brooklyn 3 years ago.
Okay.
So I just moved apartment. So I just moved because my new job, I just moved neighborhoods, but I have been in Brooklyn for 3 years. So I did a year in Queens, I did 2 years in Manhattan, and then I moved to Brooklyn, which is really funny because when I lived in Manhattan, like lived in the city, like I was a Manhattan snob. Like, I was like, oh, I don't want to move to Brooklyn. Like, when the opportunity came for me to move, I asked all these questions to people. It was like, oh, what is it like? And but it's great. It's so wonderful. Like, I would never want to move back to Manhattan. It's just too crazy and loud.
Yeah. Oh, so, I'm sure. Oh my, I can't even imagine. I am such a brat about having it be quiet at nighttime and stuff. And so I can't even imagine.
Yeah. And now I actually live in a really quiet neighborhood and my apartment's quiet. It was really funny when you told me that I needed to be in a quiet space for this. Cause I'm like, this is probably the quietest place I've lived maybe ever. So it was the apartment I'm in now. So, which is great.
And you're newly living alone, correct?
I'm newly living alone. I've never lived alone up until July. So I moved into this apartment, in the middle of July.
And you're loving it?
It's wonderful. It's absolutely wonderful. I don't know how I would go back to having roommates unless someday I, get married. But
right, yeah.
Yeah.
And that's a different kind of roommate because I feel like I just think back to when I had my girlfriends as my roommates and – it was like the stupid things, like you get in arguments over who cleans the bathroom and stuff like that. Whereas as a married person, I just say, hey, will you please clean the bathroom? Like I would, you know what I mean? Like I would feel uncomfortable saying stuff like that to my roommates, but yeah, it's totally different.
Yeah, no, it's really great.
Yeah. So let's talk about when you started running, and I want to hear about your weight loss story and your journey there and all that stuff.
Sure. Let's talk about my weight loss story first because it kind of led into my journey of running. So I was just, it was in 2009. Like I had been overweight for a really long time. I was overweight, probably from like starting like fourth, fifth grade. And then like, I just continued just to gain weight and, it never really like bothered me that much. Like I was just like, oh, like this is just like, whatever, like it's not a big deal. And it never bothered me. And like in college, like I didn't work out, like I didn't do anything. Like I just ate a lot and just did not take care of myself like at all. And even post-college, it was the same thing. And, honestly, like, so a lot of people ask, like, how did you decide to like lose the weight? And I knew that I needed to lose about 100 pounds to be like normal range, which was like super intimidating. And I knew it would be really hard. And so, you always think like, oh, I'll start on Monday, like whatever. And so I did that. I thought about it for years, but it just never was a thing. Like, I just didn't want to do it. I was lazy. Mm-hmm. And probably in the summer of 2009, like, I just remember, like, I just didn't feel good at anymore. It was hard to get out of bed sometimes. And I just knew that I was like, this is just no way to live, and this isn't honoring my body. Like, this isn't honoring, anything. Like, so I just kind of made the decision. And a good friend of mine at work was actually a trainer at a gym, and a gym that I had gone to. And I just asked him, like, he was just in my office one day. It was in October of 2009. And he was in my office one day. And I was like, hey, I was like, I've been like going to the gym and like trying to like lose weight, but like, I like really, like I need help. And he was like, okay. He's like, let's start on Monday. And I think that was like a Thursday or something. So he didn't give me like any time to like think about it. Like, he was just like, let's start on Monday. And I was like, okay. I just started, it was October 2009 and I started working out with him. Like, we'd work out twice a week. And then I'd work out, 4 times on my own. So I worked out 6 times a week and I just started tracking calories and started tracking what I ate. And it wasn't even that I was like overeating. Like, I don't struggle with that. It was just like what I ate was really bad all the time. Like, I just ate out for every meal, breakfast tacos, out to lunch at Chili's, out to dinner, it was just, it just was so much, like so many calories and like never anything like good for you. Mm-hmm. I started working out with him and, slowly but surely, like the weight just started coming off, and I wasn't running, like I just was working out, lifting weights and doing some cardio and stuff. And I just noticed like it just started coming off and it did. And it took about 10 months, I guess. So from October 2009 to June of 2010, which is just a couple months before I moved to New York. And yeah, so it's been since then, and I've kept it off for now 6 years. It's, yeah, it was like almost 100 pounds that I lost. So,
that's
which
insane.
Was really yeah. crazy. So yeah, I lost, like a fourth grader, I would say. it was definitely a really hard journey, and I had to be really, really disciplined. And, you know, I did a lot. You know, I kind of chose myself in those moments, you know, like for many years I chose, you know, everyone and didn't suffer everyone else. And in that season, I just really had to be about this and had to be super disciplined in everything I was doing. And I knew if I would do it that later I could, you know, have a more like balanced lifestyle. Cause I mean, I love pizza, I love donuts, but I also love to run. And so those, you know, balance out, and just have a more healthy perspective on food and my body. So yeah, it's been quite the journey. And so, yeah, it took most of that year, and I'm really glad I did it before I moved to New York, mm-hmm. because I don't think that my life would have been as easy as it has been, like if I would have had that extra weight on. So yeah, gist of it, I guess.
Yeah. No. Do you think I don't want to say you drug your feet, but do you think you put off getting started for a little while because like, you weren't depressed, you know?
No. Yeah. It was never about vanity. It was never about like how I look. Like it was nothing of that. It was I just was lazy. Like that's all it was. It was just about being lazy. So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So how do you maintain it? I mean, you had to be super strict for that year that you took it off.
Mm-hmm.
And how do you balance maintaining, keeping it off?
Yeah. I mean, I think I balance it, you know, by still working out and still, you know, watching what I eat. You know, I would love to eat a bagel every morning for breakfast. I live in New York City where the best bagels like in the world, but I just can't do that. You know,
yeah.
I can have a bagel every once in a while. I had one yesterday post run, but during the week, you know, I have, you know, yogurt and a banana for breakfast, or hard-boiled eggs and a banana, and then lunch, like a sandwich or something like that. And I love dessert, but it's like, I cannot do that every day. Like, or I wouldn't be able to maintain it. So it's just being, you know, very, you know, like I just am aware of what I'm eating. So, and I think it's just having a healthy balance of it. So, and continuing to work out. So that's not an option.
Okay, before we continue our conversation with Letitia, which, hello, isn't this super awesome and inspiring? The woman lost 100 pounds and has kept it off for 6 years. I'm excited to dive into her running story as well. I want to go ahead and thank one of our sponsors for this episode, though. I want to thank Prep Dish for sponsoring this episode. Prep Dish is a monthly subscription-based healthy meal planning service. They provide you a printable grocery list and offer an easy way to follow prep day instructions. You spend only 2 hours prepping your food on Sundays, and the rest of the week is easy and simple for you. The day that you actually serve your meal, the prep time is literally like 10 minutes. It is so convenient for people who are busy throughout the week. I know a lot of you guys have tried it already. I encourage everybody else to jump on and try it. Allison the chef, who's also a dietitian, so these meals are legit healthy for your family, is offering a free 2-week trial for listeners of All Have Another. So just go to prepdish.com/another, use promo code another, all caps, to get your free 2-week trial. prepdish.com/another, promo code another, all caps, for a free, absolutely free 2-week trial. All right, let's continue our conversation with Letitia. So when did you start running?
So I started running. So yeah, I started losing weight in October 2009. And I remember probably around like February or March of 2010. So probably about six months into my journey, I started running like a little bit. Like I remember like my first mile, like on the treadmill. Like I remember the first time I like tried to run, and I ran for like 30 seconds, maybe, mm-hmm. without stopping. And I built up just a little bit, you know, through like, you know, just through everything. And I remember my first mile, like straight mile without stopping. And it was probably like 12 minutes, 30 seconds or something. And that was probably like in March of 2010. And then that summer, I actually built up and was able to run, because by June, I was like at about the weight I am now. So, mm-hmm. and have been since then. And I was able, I built up running to about 3 miles. And then, that was like the summer I moved, before I moved to New York. And then once I moved to New York is when I really started running like more consistently, mostly just because I was kind of bored and I didn't have like a lot to do. And I lived by Central Park for a season. And so I was like, well, I guess I'll run. Like, I don't know what else to do. Like, I didn't know a lot of people. I didn't have a lot to do. So, yeah, I just started running and trained for my first race the next year. So in I ran the Philly Rock and Roll Half in the fall of 2011, which was my first like race like ever. Like I
really
know. Yeah. Like I, the first thing I did was a half marathon.
That's hilarious. So,
yeah.
Go big.
Like, I know. I was like, go big. So I had never, I didn't know like what the thing was for my shoe. Like I ran like in a cotton t-shirt. Like I did not know anything.
Oh, totally.
So, but I actually ran like a really solid like race. So I don't know. But yeah, so I've been running, yeah, for five, I've been racing, I guess, for 5 years and running for six. So
how did you start getting connected with the running community? Because I know the running community in New York, I mean, I know several of you girls, I mean, mm-hmm. from Twitter, honestly.
Yeah. Yeah, of course.
Yeah. but like, I always say like when next time I go to New York City, like I'm totally meeting up with everybody if I can.
Yeah.
Yeah. I know. Who knows when that'll happen, but it will at some point. Hopefully, yeah. Hopefully before you leave, if you ever do.
Yeah.
But yeah, how did you connect with everybody?
You know, I am not really sure exactly how it happened. I remember following Theodora.
Okay.
I don't know if you follow her.
Yeah, I
remember
I know
following her on Twitter. I think I like joined Twitter like right before I moved to New York.
Oh, and good timing.
Yeah, I know. It was really great. And I think when I really started getting connected to more runners was right before the New York City Marathon in 2011. I just started getting connected to people. Like I would just see people's tweets and I just started following them and it kind of started from there. And then there was just a couple times like some people were like, "Hey, like let's meet up and like let's, you know, hang out." And I remember like the first time like going to like a yogurt shop and there were like 10 like random people from Twitter. Like none of us knew each other and we just kind of started talking. But it was really it was right around the marathon. So, so I had run my first half in September and then I remember watching that marathon in November and I was like, wow, like this is amazing. Like I want to do this someday. So, but it was totally like I had just run a half. Like I didn't know, I might not even known how long a marathon was at that point, to be honest. but yeah, so it was definitely through Twitter and it's really funny when other people ask like, oh, like how do you know this person? And I'm like through Twitter. But I mean, obviously you understand because I know you through Twitter, but a lot of other people are like, that's so strange. And it's like, well, I don't know. It just like happens. I have no idea how. So.
Oh, it's totally true. And, you know, I mean, I will be at like a race and somebody will walk up to me and they're like, "Are you Lindsay? I follow you on Twitter." And it's just like, you know, these people from their, what they say. And it's so weird, but yeah. No, you either get it or you don't get it. And
yeah,
I know I talk to that. I, when I talk about it to people that don't get it, I'm just like, you're going to think I'm weird, whatever. This is my friend from Twitter.
Yeah. It's really hard to explain, but it's been really, really great. So, it's fun. So, and there is a ton of people here. So,
yeah, I know, like of all the people I've interviewed for this podcast and people that I am yet to interview, like it's very heavy over there up in the East Coast. Like in
yeah,
York City
it really
area.
Is. I mean, I met Michelle Gonzalez in the UConn one, and she actually coached me for a couple years. She coached me to my first marathon.
Aww.
And, I know Erica Sarah, like I wear her jewelry and I hung out with her and we like usually see each other about once a year at the mini 10K.
Uh-huh.
So I knew her when she lived here. I mean, I know Jenny actually from Twitter as well.
Ashley Pizzarotti.
Ashley, who's hilarious. So funny.
I know.
We're all know each other from Twitter.
That's so funny. Well, And I have to mention too, while you mentioned Michelle, is that's the only time I've seen you, met you in person was,
yeah.
I was running the Boston Marathon at mile 25?
Maybe a little bit before that, but yeah.
Yeah. And you guys saw me. I can't believe you spotted me.
I know. We were really good that day. Like, we saw so many people from Twitter.
So
like,
fun.
It was so crazy. So crazy.
You were in the best spot too. Cause it's like,
yeah,
that is the ultimate best spot to be at, cheering for someone in a race is like when they only have a mile to go or around there.
Yeah. Oh man. That was so exciting to see you guys. Yeah,
and
it was really fun.
Although the picture you took is awesome. Like, I'm like so happy, so excited to see you guys. Like, I really did feel like shit, but I was having fun. Like, my legs were done at that point, but I was still just like, whatever, I'm getting to the finish line. And I got to see my friends that I've never met before.
that there was a couple others like that too that day. I think that was like when I've never actually met you, but
right. You know. Totally. And then I didn't meet Michelle until last in person, other than that, until last fall when we were at the Chicago Marathon. So, yeah, that's crazy.
It's crazy.
So how many marathons have you ran?
I have ran 3 marathons. So I ran 3 kind of like 3 consecutive falls in a row. So 2012, 2013, and 2014. So I have taken a little bit of a marathon break the past couple of years.
Hey,
so.
Nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, it was just a lot. It was a whole lot.
Yeah, so. To constantly be training and having to dedicate your Saturday mornings to long runs every week. And
yeah.
So you were in the group, though, with – you were going to be running New York the year it was canceled, mm-hmm. right?
I was going to be running New York the year. Yeah, that was my very first marathon. So,
it was a
bummer. It was a really big bummer for sure.
Yeah.
So we completely understood. And I mean, New York was just a really crazy situation and really sad. And, but you know, yeah, it was sad when they canceled, but we completely understood why. And, so thankfully, you know, we had the opportunity to go to Richmond a week later. So, which was really fun because, you know, we were all still together, even though we weren't in New York, but we ran the Richmond Marathon, which they were super nice to let us all register, you know, kind of last minute. And, it was a great first experience. So it just wasn't what I had planned for, but
right.
It worked out. So, and then I got to run New York the next year. So.
So Richmond ends on like a downhill, doesn't it?
It ends on a crazy, crazy downhill. Like, I don't know how people don't just like plummet down it. It's
really?
It's a very steep downhill. So,
but. Did you, so you did Richmond, then you did New York, and then you did Chicago.
Yep. Richmond, New York, Chicago. Yeah.
What of the three, I know they're all so different, mm-hmm. but what of the three would you say is your favorite race and experience?
What's so funny is I will say probably the New York City Marathon. It was definitely my worst race I've ever had in my life. I had quad cramps in both of my quads starting from 13 on. And so it was really painful. It was horribly painful, but it was like the best day ever. Like have you been here for the marathon?
No, I haven't.
Okay. Okay. It is just like, I can't really describe like what it was like to run that marathon. Like, people are literally cheering for you the entire time. Like, the first mile is over the Verrazano Bridge, so it starts in Staten Island. So that bridge it's not pedestrian friendly. So it's only us on the bridge. So you start and you can see Manhattan to your left, and it's just so crazy. Such just like surreal start. Like, they're actually doing this, and you're really. It was just incredible. And once you get off that bridge, like, you're in Brooklyn, and literally from when you get off that bridge until you get to the finish line, there are people cheering, and just like all day, you know, it took me a long time to finish and there were people there all day. And, I got to see so many of my friends and so many people cheering, and it was a hometown race for me. So mm-hmm. nothing will compare. Chicago was great. You know, Chicago, it was a great course. It's a really, you know, relatively easy, however easy 26 miles is. It's flat, as you know, but there, I mean, in New York City Marathon, it's a tough course. It's, you know, mm-hmm. it's a lot of bridges, a lot of hills, a lot of rolling hills, you know, even up until Central Park, which, you know, that's mile, it's about like 23, 24, like, it's uphill. So it's a tough course, but I just don't think there's anything that compares to New York City Marathon. And I could be biased because I live here, but it truly was one of the absolute greatest days of my life. Like, aww, it really was. So even though it was so bad, it was such a bad finish. And I walked a lot, and I was in a lot of pain, but I will never forget that day ever. So,
well, I think that's a motivating story to tell people who might be training for a marathon and be fearful that they might end up walking a lot of it, that you still had a really great experience, though it was hard.
Yeah, it was brutal. It was really, really tough, but it was such a great day, such a great day. So, yeah. And what? The city of New York just loves the marathon. So they love it. And it was just such a redemption too, even though I had a tough day, like after not getting to run it the year before. Mm-hmm. And I just felt like the energy was just crazy, you know, cause it'd been 2 years since the marathon had been run there. And, it's just a crazy amount of people. And it was just a really great day. So.
Yeah. I've heard the course is really tough and the wind's pretty tough too, usually, isn't it?
Yeah, the wind is tough. The wind wasn't as tough for us the year that I ran. The next year was crazy, crazy wind. And so if you get into a headwind on First Avenue, which those are miles like 16 through about 20, which are tough no matter what. It was just, it's crazy. It's really, yeah, it can be pretty, pretty brutal. So
is that something fun that you do every year? Like you go out and cheer at the marathon every year. Like that's a big deal.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely. For sure. And the way the course is set up, I mean, it runs through all the boroughs. So you can easily, kind of what I've done the past couple of years, I usually will start watching in Brooklyn because I live here. So I'll just kind of go down and we'll watch. And that's, I usually watch from like mile, I think it's like 8. So I can typically watch mile 8, watch people go by, and then I'll take the train up to uptown to the Upper East Side. And that's about mile 18, 19. So you have enough time to see your friends twice, and you can kind of cross one other street and then you can see them again at like 23. So, it's a pretty friendly, viewing course. So yeah, absolutely. It's the absolute best. Like I lose my voice and it's just, yeah, it's so fun. It's been really fun. So I'm excited to cheer. And I've had a couple of friends who, like, it's been their first marathon. Last year, I had a good friend who ran New York for the first time, and she had just started running, like, the year before. So that was really fun to see, to get the experience for her. So, yeah.
So what would you say to someone, like, someone who might be listening that, and this is back to the weight loss a little bit, who is in the boat where they're not feeling good, they know they need to get started, but they don't want to because they're lazy or whatever their excuse is. What advice would you give that person?
I would say to take it one day at a time, take it one day at a time, really. And I always kind of, you know, think about, you know, life or think about things you're experiencing, you know, you're going to see them from A to Z. And you can't really think about Z when you're at A, you know? Mm-hmm. So I would just one day at a time. It's not going to happen overnight. Like it's just not, you're going to have to sacrifice a lot. But in the end it'll truly always be worth it. It really will. I always just say, you know, I sacrificed 10 months of my life to get probably many years of my life back. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
Obviously I'm sure the answer is yes, but like were some days way harder than others?
Yeah, some days were harder than others. And especially like on days, it's like, oh, I feel like I had like worked so hard that week. And I would usually do like a weigh-in like once a week on Fridays. And if I wouldn't lose like, you know, anything, like I remember there was like a month where I like didn't lose a pound, you know, not like weight wise, you know, I'm sure I was getting like stronger, but I didn't lose like any weight. Like, so that was hard. It was really hard. But I knew that that wasn't like the truth. Like I knew I had been working hard and you know your body. So,
yeah. So, and then I also wanted to ask you, like with running and marathoning, would you consider yourself like, what do you run your marathons in, like 5 hours or something?
My best time was 4:39, which was my first one. Yeah.
Okay. So that was your very first, you have your best time in your first marathon.
Yeah, I know. It's so crazy because my best one was my first one. And then the next year was New York, which is where I had.
So hard. Yeah.
Was so, so hard. So, it was just a really big bummer. But yeah. So yeah, my personal best is my first marathon, actually, 4:39.
And then when you're running New York and you're having this hard race and you're walking a lot, mm-hmm. what would you say to someone else who's going through that experience that might be discouraged, like feeling like, oh, you know, like everybody's running so much faster than me, and you know what I mean? What would you say to someone?
Yeah, I think I would just say, I mean, it's funny because it was from a sign that I saw randomly during a marathon. It was like, pain now, finisher forever. And so no matter how long it takes you to finish, like, you are still always going to be a marathoner, you know, especially if it's your first, you know, and nothing can take that away. And it doesn't matter how fast you run or how slow you run. And that's honestly one of the things I really like about the running community is that, you know, my personal best is a 4:39, but I mean, I know people who run sub-3 marathons, and I don't feel like they treat me any worse because I'm slower. You know, one of my really good friends at work, he's a marathoner, and, you know, he broke 3 hours in the marathon, but he asks me about my running journey all the time. Every time I see him, he asks me how I'm doing and how my running is going. And like, it's not like I'm not qualified as a runner just because I'm not as fast as him. And I think that's one thing I really like about this community. It's very much just like, it's a camaraderie that you share on the road, no matter how fast or slow that you are. And I feel like other places and other things, like, you, it's a competitive thing, like, who's the best, who's better. And this is just like, no, like, this is just about knowing each other's journey and encouraging people and cheering for people and tracking people as they run. And it's just, I don't know if there's a more like encouraging community than this one that I've been a part of. So
I would agree for sure. And I feel like sometimes people put off getting started because they don't understand that inclusiveness, you know, until they're actually there.
Yeah. Cause most things are not inclusive. Like, most things are very competitive. And of course you have your friendly competition in running, of course, but, I think one of the things that I've been super encouraged by is just to know, like, everyone is kind of in this together, and, you know, everyone's supporting each other. And, you know, like, we love, like, you know, when it's the Boston Marathon day, everybody's tracking. It's one of the funnest days for the running community, just to know how everyone's doing on this historical course, you know, so, and race. But yeah, so that's one thing I really appreciate and love about this community.
And okay, and speaking of this awesome running community, I am super excited to support the Drumstick Dash this year, as I do every year, and Am Better from MHS, which is a health insurance company, is a big supporter of the Drumstick Dash. And this podcast, thank you for sponsoring this episode. Each year they take part in a community health initiative, and this year they are involved with the Drumstick Dash, which takes place on Thanksgiving Day, Thursday, November 24th at 9 a.m. in Broad Ripple. I hope that you guys will join me, my family, MHS of Indiana, and about 20,000 other people to do this race. Go to drumstick-dash.org to register for the race, and I'll see you there. I'll probably be walking because I'll have a four-week-old, but I will be there. Thank you, MHS of Indiana. Do you see yourself? I mean, you've taken a little bit of a hiatus. Do you see yourself signing up for a marathon in the next few years?
I think so. I think I will go back to it eventually. It was just a lot. It was a whole lot. It's a lot of sacrifice to do a marathon. And, you know, some people can do them kind of on a whim. I cannot. Yeah. I have to train. I have to train hard, you know, to get my body to be ready for that. So, but I don't know. I know this is probably, you know, I don't know, maybe not what people want, but I love big races. Like, I'm a big race person, like, especially after running New York and after running Chicago. Like, I can't see myself just like running like a small, like, little race. Right. So, and I've already run New York and Chicago, so I don't like know what other like major marathon I think it would be really cool to like run the Berlin Marathon or London or something like that. But I don't, I mean, unless I ran New York, I just don't know which race I would do.
I'm trying to think of, other than those, the majors, like what other marathon is like really big, you know?
Yeah. I don't know. I'm not sure. So,
yeah. Cause I get what you're saying. Like, if that's the experience you want, like, you're not going to get that anywhere else other than Boston or New York or Chicago with like the cheering from start to finish. Like, it's just, you can't recreate that.
Yeah. I after having that, I think it'd be really hard to go to like run a marathon where people are not cheering like the whole way. Like, I think it would be just hard for me, you know, as having had that in the past, but That's not to say that I don't want to run like those marathons again. I think I would consider running those again, but there's not one that I'm like, oh, I absolutely want to run that. So I think it would be cool to run all the major marathons.
That would be really cool.
So,
yeah. Although I love the idea of spectating in New York, but not necessarily running it, because I just feel like if I'm going to spend all the money and the time to get there, and the course is really hard, I don't know that I would run well on it. And the logistics of the morning, which wouldn't be such a big deal if you live there. I just feel like, I don't know, I want marathon running to be really smooth and easy.
Yeah, it is a bit of a hassle. Like, it's definitely a big commitment to want to run New York. Like, it's a long morning. It's a late start. It's just a long day.
Yeah.
So it's not like, it was so funny because I went from Richmond and we literally I feel like we pulled up to the race and like parked and like started. Like,
right.
It was just so easy, you know?
Yeah.
But that is not the case in New York. And you know, they have to, there's lots of, you know, security stuff, and, but that's being smart. So
totally.
with this many people running. So,
yeah, I feel like maybe going with a big group of friends and just like totally running for fun would be the way I'd have to want it. I'd do it just because if I was really going for a PR, really wanting to race, like that would just be too much going on. But I do want to run it. I think it would be fun. Maybe I'll make Glenn run it with me for fun.
You guys should. Yeah.
He'd probably try to make me run fast though, and I wouldn't want to. So, okay. I want to move on to what's the best advice you've ever been given.
Okay.
Did you think on that?
I did think on that. I remember after college, my dad told me like, there are not things in life that are often like just handed to you. Like, you have to work hard for them. So, I think there's definitely opportunities that you get, but that doesn't mean you don't have to work hard. And I think that, just having a strong work ethic in all that you do and just being excellent in the things that you do, whether you're a stay-at-home mom or whether you're an attorney or whether you're a teacher, like just to do your work excellently. So to serve others.
I love that. That's so good. Good job, Dad.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
What, if you could have coffee or a cocktail with anybody, who would it be in the world?
In the world? I would probably, in this moment, probably have coffee with Lin-Manuel Miranda, who is the creator of Hamilton, which I hope that you know about. mostly just because I can't imagine like what he feels right now after, you know, making a show that was like an off-Broadway show to probably maybe what would be the biggest Broadway show like ever and to be. I don't know. It's just crazy. It's crazy how this has blown up. And I actually thankfully got the opportunity to see it earlier this year, which is, was amazing. So amazing. So I would just love to hear kind of his perspective on what is his life like? Like, he's truly like one of the most famous like people now. So
what,
I think that would be fun.
Can you talk to me about that a little bit? Because I've heard people talk about it and I don't know much about it.
Hamilton?
Yes. Like, I know it's a Broadway show and people are listening to the soundtrack all the time while they're cleaning their houses and people love it. But like, I don't know much about it.
Yeah. So it's just a Broadway show about Alexander Hamilton. So it's just like really the story of like our forefather. Like, it, yeah, it's just that. It's literally like a history lesson, basically, into a Broadway show. However, there is no speaking. It's all singing. And it's like kind of more, it's like rap, basically, which is so funny.
Really?
Because of what it, yeah.
It's rap.
It's funny because of the context that what they're talking about. Like, you wouldn't think, like, it's just like hip hop ish. Like,
really?
It's great. Yeah. Which I don't know if you knew that. So,
no, I didn't know that. I've got to, like, if I Google it, can I get a sample?
You probably could. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So, and they're singing the entire time, the entire time. So there's no like regular speaking lines from start to finish at all.
And I have to say, like, I feel like it makes me sound shallow when I say stuff like this, but like, it sounds really boring to me. Like,
it's not though, I promise. Okay. It's really not. And I was actually, when I got the opportunity to see it, I was not one of these crazy Hamilton people. Like, I really wasn't. Like, I had listened to a couple songs, but just seeing like what they did on the stage, and I got to see it with the original cast. The original cast has since left. There's some new people in some of the main roles, but it was just so cool. I've seen lots of Broadway shows after living in New York for this long, but I've never seen anything like this.
Are you so glad you got to see the original cast?
Yes, I am. Because I got to see what the soundtrack sounds like. So not to say, I mean, I'm sure it's still amazing and still good, but I sat in the front row. Like, it was just incredible.
Oh, wow.
It was absolutely incredible. Yeah.
Well, I'm sure it's nothing like Les Mis, but that's like the only, and this was at IU. It wasn't like a New York Broadway show, but I will tell you, I went to Les Mis and fell asleep.
You know what? I saw Les Mis. I saw Hamilton in January, at the end of January, and I saw Les Mis in March. And I wasn't a big fan, which I know I probably people won't like, but
I know.
Sorry. I wasn't a huge fan. But I also was coming off of Hamilton like high. And so nothing,
right.
Like every show that I saw like for a few months, I was just like, it's just not Hamilton. So.
Yeah. Yeah.
But
Man. Well, I'm going to have to at least get a sample so I can have an idea. I mean, this rap thing is really intriguing to me because I'm obsessed.
So it's like R&B. Yeah. It's,
okay.
I mean, it's just like, yeah. I mean, it's like pop. Like, I don't know. It's great. It's so fun.
Okay.
So, sounds really dorky because it's literally about like history, but
yeah.
it's really cool. It really is. It really is. So
okay.
If you listen to the soundtrack, I mean, that's exactly what they do on the stage.
Okay.
And the dancing is awesome. And so, yeah.
All right. I'm going to have to check it out. Yeah. Because I've heard other people, I think I first heard about it actually on Jamie Ivey's podcast, and one of her guests, Sophia something or another, that was like, she was obsessed with it, and she said she listened to it while she cleaned her house and did laundry. And I'm like,
oh, yeah, I run to it a lot, actually.
Really? You run to
yeah,
it?
Yeah, I do.
Okay, All right,
yeah.
You're selling me here. Okay, that's who you'd have. Would you have coffee or cocktail with him, though? Which would you have?
I would probably have coffee with him. I think he might. Yeah. So.
Okay,
yeah.
Got it. Mm-hmm. What's hot in your life right now? Have you thought about that?
What's hot in my life right now? Other than my new job. Yeah. This is going to sound really, I don't know. Anyway, I don't know how to say this, but probably up until a year ago, I used to wash my hair every day, even though people said you shouldn't. But I used to, and I stopped because I had been using, dry shampoo, which is not a big thing or new, but Tresemme, like that brand of dry shampoo. Like it's like really affordable and I really like it. And I no longer have to wash my hair every day, because they say that's not healthy for it anyway. So yeah, if you want an affordable dry shampoo that does its job, Tresemme dry shampoo is what I found.
Okay, so let me ask you this, because I use Tresemme regular shampoo.
Okay.
That's what I use. I remember probably like 5 years ago, I was getting my hair done and I asked the girl that was doing my hair, I was like, what's like a good shampoo to use? Like, I just want somebody to tell me what to use and I'll use it. And she's like, just use Tresemme. It's good and it's not expensive. So I started using that and it really is like about as cheap as you can get for like a decent quality at Target or whatever.
Yeah.
So that's my tried and true. But so are you saying you use the regular shampoo like 3 times a week and then on your off days you use dry, or do you not even do dry on your off days? Or I'm confused.
So I just like on the days that I do not wash my hair, like I use the dry shampoo.
That
shampoo.
And you buy the Tresemme.
And I buy the Tresemme. And it's just affordable. Like there was a time like before it, like a short time that I was using like a very expensive like dry shampoo because I thought like I was like a little panicked since I wasn't, you know, washing my hair every day for the first time that I had to have like this super like expensive thing for it to work. But I found out that I didn't. So, and it works just the same. So
I'm like you. I used to be. I do wash my hair every day and it's not that I even need to, but I always feel like my shower's not complete if I don't wash my hair. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I know what you mean. Yeah. And I just have, especially, I guess it's, I do wash my hair like every day in the summer because it's just sweating, you're sweating and running and working out. But like in the winter, I mean, it's cold where you are too. So here is like, it does not bother me not to wash my hair every day. So
when you apply the dry shampoo, do you, you take your shower, you wear a shower cap or whatever. And then do you, I've held dry shampoo a small bottle in my hand and I've never used it. Like I got a sample in a Birchbox one time.
Yeah.
What do you do?
Yeah. So I just like, I mean, I have layers in my hair and my hair is curly. So I just kind of like lift up a layer and like kind of just put a little bit, like I spray, I also use hairspray every day. So it's kind of like, I'm used to spraying things in my hair. So yeah, I just like do like just a few sprays and you kind of have to get it like close to your scalp and that's like how it like releases like the shampoo, like into your head. But, yeah, just kind of use that. And I just use my fingers. Granted, it might be easier because my hair is not straight. Like my hair is it's curly. So, I think it might be like easier to like, I'm not like messing my hair up when I'm using this.
Totally.
So, yeah.
Sweet. Do you have anything else?
The only other thing that I've discovered like in the past few months that I really love are some running shorts. So for years I was a Nike Tempo shorts girl, like just the Nikes that everybody wears for fun too.
Yep.
But I have, since I have been converted, I still do wear those, but the Lululemon tracker shorts. So they're what I usually use on long runs and they have just, it's just a, like they're similar to Nikes in like length. And then, but they have a pocket on the side that just will hold a lot and it doesn't like weigh you down. Like I can have keys and a credit card and a goo or whatever. And they will still feel fine. So, and they're just great shorts and they don't ride up and, I really like them. So I've been converted from Nike to Lululemon tracker shorts for long runs.
That's fun. I have never once bought anything from Lululemon.
Really?
And never, okay. never in my life.
Wow.
I know. And I think I've been inside a Lululemon maybe twice.
Yeah. I mean, they're expensive. I will say they're expensive and I don't have very many pairs. Like I have three pairs right now. So,
you know what?
I'm still a Nike person. So
if you find what you love though, and even if it's like, if it's expensive, if it's good quality and it's always going to be your go-to, it's worth it.
Yeah. I agree.
And you know what? Lululemon is pretty expensive, but like, so is Athleta. I mean, they're all of those brands are expensive. They're good quality apparel, but yeah, I mean, you're paying for what you get for sure.
Yeah. Yeah.
What's the best, most recent book that you've read?
Oh, the best, most recent book. Probably from the summer. I haven't really had a chance to read because my life has been really crazy since my new job. But in the summer, I read, maybe early summer, Me Before You.
Heard about that.
It was really good. It's a little bit of a sad ending. That's not that much of a spoiler because most people know by now, so it's not brand new. But it was just a really great book. It really intrigued me a lot. Even though it wasn't exactly how I would have ended it, but it was a great book that kept my attention. So I really liked it. I also read Girl on the Train, which was absolutely insane, but also really, really good. And I'm really excited about the movie coming out.
Does this week, actually. Does that book draw you in right from the start?
Girl on the Train?
Yeah.
No, not really, especially because it's a little bit confusing, which you're not really sure. Like it's different people talking like on each page. Like it's like the person like who says is talking, but you're trying to figure out who that person is and without giving anything away, like it's not super easy to get into it first. Cause it's kind of confusing. It was to me,
but once
you get into it and realize like what is going on, then it's just absolute crazy. I couldn't put it down. So, and I'm really excited for the movie too. So,
okay. So you recommend it?
I do recommend it. Yeah. And neither book is like brand new, but if you haven't got a chance to read them, I think it would be they're both great.
Yeah, no, I have definitely heard of both of them. I'm gonna see if I can get it on my so I read on my Kindle and I try to go to the library site and like see what's on there first because I'm not a book rereader, but it's so freaking easy to just go buy it because you just, yeah. you know, like you don't even yeah. see the money leaving your account. You just go to Amazon on your Kindle.
Yeah.
But some of these books that aren't like brand new, you can get on the library on your Kindle and it's free. And sometimes there's just like a wait list.
Yeah.
And it puts pressure on you to finish it because they give you like a certain amount of time to have to read it. Although I will say there's several books that I've checked out from the library on my Kindle that I've gotten to like 88% and like they're like, you can't recheck this out anymore. Like your time has expired. Like one of those books is the it's a book by Rob Lowe. I forget what book it is, but
oh my gosh.
It's like his autobiography or something. But what's it called? Oh, Renewed. I seriously renewed that book like 9 times. And I'm like, sorry, you're done. You can't keep renewing this book.
Yeah.
I saw on Twitter that you were getting into This Is Us.
Oh, man. Yes, I am. It's two weeks in and I absolutely love it. So I can't wait to continue to watch it. Yeah, it's really great. And some people are calling it the new Parenthood, which I didn't watch Parenthood. Like I watched a little bit of it, but I didn't finish. But it's a great, great story. So, and yeah, I really do like it this far.
Did they release a whole season or are you actually having to watch this on TV like a normal person?
It's a normal TV show on NBC. So it's on Tuesday night. So yeah, we're week 2. So every week I'll have to wait, unfortunately.
So. Well, so that's crazy that second weekend you're already this hooked.
Yeah, I know. And it's what's fun. I don't really watch a ton of shows. Like I'm watching that right now just because Scandal's not on. That Scandal's typically the only thing I watch. Uh-huh. I watch Scandal and Homeland and that's it. And mm-hmm. every once in a while, a little Netflix series, like I watch Stranger Things, but I don't watch a ton of TV. So,
yeah.
So for me to like it and to be hooked, I really have to like it. So
I'm sure I can find it on Hulu, right?
Yeah. I believe it's on Hulu. Yeah.
Ooh, I have like 30 minutes when we get done before Glenn gets home with Marshall and Lewis is still napping. So maybe I'll check out the first part of the first episode. Or there's probably 2 up by now, huh?
There are 2 out, yeah.
Did you love Stranger Things?
I did love Stranger Things. I loved that it was so 80s. It was really fun. That was cool. That was great. And I didn't think... I wasn't actually, to be completely honest, I had no idea what it was about.
Yeah.
Like, everyone just was, like, tweeting about it. And so I was like, I'm going to watch it. And I was watching with my best friend, and we... Like it starts and like it's kind of like scary a little bit at first, right. And she was like, "What is this?" I was like, "I have no idea. I'm sorry." So, I don't like scary things either. So, but we pressed on and we watched it, and yeah, I really liked it. So, and I obviously loved how like 80s it was. That was really cool.
I haven't heard one person who's watched it say they didn't like it.
No, I really liked it. I can't wait to the next season. So it'll be good.
I think Glenn did finish it, and I have no interest. He says I would hate it. I'm like the 1%. I'm like that. I'm the 1% that wouldn't like it for some reason. I did watch probably 30 minutes of the first episode.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. It's a little bit to get into, but it's really cool. So, yeah. And it's not long either. It was just 8 episodes. So it wasn't a big commitment. So,
well, that's a good point. Helps. Yeah. That's a good point. But I'm just worried it'll make me scared at night. Will it make me scared at night?
I would say maybe the first couple episodes might make you a little scared, but once you like understand what's kind of going on, I don't think you'll be as scared. I was scared. I will admit that I was a little scared at first, but then I was not after I realized like what was kind of going on, which they kind of reveal to you.
Okay. So. And then you should also be like, okay, Lindsay, you're a 33-year-old grown woman. Like, you shouldn't be scared about this, right?
Hey, I'm the same age, so okay. I can't really say that to you. Or almost 33. So.
Oh, man. Well, now your family's coming into town this week, right?
They are. They're coming into town on Thursday.
Yeah. Now, you say you have 8 siblings, though, so, like, who's coming into town? All of them? All 8?
No. It's my mom and then 3 of my sisters. And they've done this trip. It's been the same people who've done this trip, okay. like, 4 years in a row. So, they actually typically come in the summer. But this summer, we went on a family vacation the week that they usually come here. So, they pushed it back a little. I didn't even think they were going to come, but they're like, oh, no, we still want to go to New York.
This is our trip. So will they stay at your house?
They will. They will stay at my house. I have an extra room, so yeah.
Okay.
They can stay with me.
And yeah. Do any kiddos come with, or do the sisters come without kids?
Nope. They come without their children.
Oh, so fun.
Yeah.
So fun. Well, enjoy that time with them so much.
Thanks so much.
And thanks for joining me on a Sunday afternoon. I know there's lots of other things you could be doing on a Sunday afternoon, so I appreciate your time.
Yeah, absolutely. It was fun to talk.
So yes, in person for the first time, right? Or on Skype.
On Skype, yeah. But it feels like you're here, so
right, totally.
It was easy to talk. So
we can totally be in your kitchen having a cocktail, except for I wouldn't be able to have a cocktail yet. But here in about 4 weeks. I'm in.
All right. Sounds good. Sounds good. Well, let me know anytime you want to come to New York. I'm here and I have extra room so you guys can stay with me.
Oh,
so.
I will totally let you know. when we get up there sometime in the next like 3 or 4 years, it's going to happen. We're meeting up. We're doing it.
Okay. All right. Sounds great, Lindsay. Thanks so much. Have a great day.
Uh-huh. You too.
Bye-bye.
Okay, everybody. Thank you so much for listening today. Thank you, Letitia, for coming on and sharing your story. I loved, loved, loved talking to you. Coming up, I have my holiday gift guide episode. If you know of a small business or company that might be interested in getting involved in the show, have them email me at lindsay@lindsayhine.com. It's going to be a lot of fun. I'm doing the episode with my sister. She's coming up with some items. I'm coming up with some items. And we are only recommending what we really, really, really like. So, thank you guys so much for listening. And hey, if you are loving the show, I would love it if you'd head over to iTunes and give me a rating and review. It's the best way for people to find the show. And share the love on social media. Find a new friend who you think might like this show and send them my way. And I want to thank Prep Dish for sponsoring this episode and Ann Better from MHS of Indiana for sponsoring this episode as well. Thank you guys for being supporters of the show, and thank you, MHS of Indiana, for sponsoring the Drumstick Dash. You guys go to prepdish.com/another, use promo code another in all caps to get your free 2-week trial of Prep Dish. And also head over to drumstickdash.org to get registered for the most fun Thanksgiving Day race you could ever run. All right, you guys, I release a new episode every single Friday, so have a wonderful weekend, and I will see you next Friday.